Well, good morning, everyone. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name, and today, once again, we have a teaching from you, Jesus, to really show us repentance and the need for repentance, Lord, and Lord, that would apply to all of us at times, and certainly to those around us who have not even repented to you for salvation. And so, Lord, may we learn from the prayers as you've taught us in the study today, Lord, and reveal your truth to us, and may we hear and may we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're looking at the prodigal son, and you know the story very well. We just want to break it down a little bit, but I just see coming back to the Lord and his love. And so let's begin by just singing this familiar hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, on the back page of 2. In Luke 15, we have a great, we have three parables actually about being lost, being found, and then rejoicing. You know, the first one was about the caring for the one sheep out of 100, and so that's kind of a 1% prayer situation. And then the second one is 1 out of 10 coins, that's kind of a 10% prayer, so to speak. The coins were a day wage, so she's looking for a day's wage. And in each case, when they were found, there was great rejoicing in heaven. And then the third one is the story of the prodigal son, and that is kind of 100%. The fellow's lost, and now he's found. And we know the story very well, but let's just look at the repentance aspect in today's study. We read in verse 12 kind of a prayer, in a sense asking the Father. He says, Father, Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now, he was the youngest son, and that would normally not fall to him until the father died. He would probably get about a third of the estate because a double portion would be given to the older son. And here's this young whippersnapper falling into sin. And how we see that in our own lives, or I did in my life, as I went to college and got really smart and thought I was really something and I was my own Lord for years. And then the Lord finally got a hold of me, as he will get a hold of the prodigal son here. But he is saying, give me what you owe me, Dad, I'm out of here, in effect, is what he's saying. And he goes, and it takes some time. It says, you know, he went to a far country, and then he spent all he had there, and then there was a famine in the land, and so he ends up feeding pigs, as you know the story. But I think it's very important as we read these words in verse 17, but when he came to himself. You know, really, until a person comes to themselves, pretty much all we can do is love them and pray for them. Because we can point out the problem of sin, and we can point out whatever we want to point out biblically, but unless they really starts to work on them from inside out, you're probably wasting your time talking to them. But pray for them, pray for them. But here he goes to the bottom, and it's so painful when we see those around us that we love so much going to the bottom. We know they're on their way down when they do something like this. They get out of line and they do something that's not biblical, and we know sin is going to take them down. But how far down do they have to go before they find themselves? And in the case here, in the example Jesus gives us, he went pretty much all the way to the bottom. Here's a Jewish guy feeding swine. You can't get any lower than that. And then he gets so hungry that he wants to eat the swine food. Now that's pretty, can you get any lower than that? I don't think you can get much lower than that. So when we see our loved ones going down, we have to remember at some point the good Lord, I think, is going to let them hit bottom. And they're going to turn from themselves to him, is what's happening here. He came to himself, and of course he recognized now the blindness of his sin, and sin does blind, doesn't it? And sin causes kind of a temporary insanity to us, doesn't it? We get all deranged with what's right because we're so into sin, and we see that in those around us who are in sin. So he says, well, you know, I'm starving to death. How many of my father's servants, they're at least getting food. I recognize I'm a rotten sinner. I've left home and all, but I'll just go back to my father. Now notice, he doesn't forget who his father is. Even in the depths of sin, he still knows who his father is. I go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Again, a very important aspect of repentance and confession here is to recognize the sin is against God and what he stands for more than against man. We usually think of terms of sinning against man or sinning maybe against ourselves, but as Joseph would say with Pharaoh's or Potiphar's wife, how can I commit this great sin against God, right? And so we need to recognize we're sinning against God. And then he goes on, total repentance here in a sense, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Until we see ourselves as that having no value, until we really repent of ourself and our self-strength, we really can't receive from the Lord, can we? So salvation will not come as long as a person is depending on themselves. That's got to be broken, doesn't it? That's got to be dead. You got to die to self. But here he is. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now all along he said, I'm your son. I want what's mine, give it to me, and I'm out of here. And now he's saying, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your slaves or one of your servants. Do you want to be a servant to the Lord? Do you really want to be a slave to Jesus Christ? Are you looking to him as your master and Lord, really? Or are you still hanging on to some things in your life that you want to really control and be a part of? But he says, make me like one of your hired servants. And now notice this, I love this in verse 20. He arose and came to his father. How many of us, or how many do we see, they know they need to turn, but I'll turn tomorrow, or I'll work on it, or I'll, you know, I know the Lord is going to take me out of this sin, but I'm just going to wait for the Lord. In the meantime, you know, I really enjoy this adulterous relationship I'm in. It is really fun, you know. And I know at some point I need to turn out of it, but for now, I'm just going to stay. Well, he didn't. He decided, I'm going to arise from here. I'm going to go back. And so he arose and came to his father. And of course, we know the rest of the story then. His father so loving him, and our Father is so gracious and so merciful. And in 1 John we read, if we confess our sins, what he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're in sin, praise the Lord that you'll hit the bottom and turn to the Lord. And even if you have a little sin in your life, it's going to separate you from the Lord. So just ask every day. I think we need to ask every day for purity, every day for repentance and confession of the sin, because we do know, and if we don't know, we ask the Lord, what have I done? And he'll remind us, right? But then we ask for help in, of course, resisting temptation, and that's prayer, right? Pray lest you fall into temptation. So prayer and being in the Word, being close to the Lord, is where we want to be. Obedience always precedes blessing, always. And so we cannot we can ask for blessing, but if we're not obedient to the Lord, it's not going to be there. And so we can ask the Lord to bless our enemies as well, but down deep we know that unless they really turn to him, they cannot really be blessed in that state. But so you see somebody you love that's not saved, you see somebody you love that are in sin, remember the steps here that the prodigal son went through, that Jesus taught us. He went all the way to the bottom, and his father was watching for him every day, always watching, right? But it took a while, didn't it? It took a while before he returned. But he remembered his father, and he arose and came back to him. Father, we thank you that you're so loving, you're so faithful, you're so perfect. And Lord, help us to be aware of where we are. Help us to be aware of when we take that step of saying, give me what is mine, I deserve something. But rather, Lord, may we have the right attitude. I'm unworthy, really, to be called your child, Lord. Just thank you for your grace and your mercy. So forgive me, Lord, for my sin. Forgive me for my sin already today, the sin of pride and the sin of thinking of self really above everybody else. And to remember to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And of course, if that's the case, then I will be loving yours. I will be loving others, the ones you've created in your image. So Lord, guide us this morning now. We have time to pray for a few minutes to you on the things you would lay on our hearts. We know that the prayer is so important because of your faithfulness. So may we pray in one accord as led by the Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.